They are barbecue sauce.
So does Michael. Listen to him tell you how much he loves J.R.'s barbecue sauce.
It's slobber knocker good.
That pretty much says it all. Man, I wish we had some barbecue sauce here tonight.
J.R.'s barbecue sauce?
Yeah.
Wait, hey, guess what? I always keep a little J.R.'s barbecue sauce right here at ringside. Look, John.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
King has got some barbecue sauce.
Good old J.R. Well, sauce.
I won't be needing this any.
Oh. You need more? Oh, sauce it. There you go, sauce it, baby. Oh, Cole.
Yeah. Election time's coming. Who you gonna vote for? Yeah. If I was president, I get elected on Friday, assassinated on Saturday, buried on Sunday, they go back to work on Monday. If I was president, if I was president, if I was president, yeah.
This is Booker T, five-time WCW champion, and you're listening to Smack Talk Live. Now, can't you dig that?
Quick take, running down the week that was.
When the vulture devours, if I was president, I'd get elected on Friday, assassinated on Saturday, buried on Sunday.
Yes, it is another beautiful Thursday evening here in Vancouver, British Columbia, and that can only mean one thing. You're listening to Smack Talk Radio Live, and this is Quick Take, breaking down the week that was. Corey, how are you tonight, man?
I'm doing all right. I'm still reeling off the clip that we just heard of Michael Cole getting barbecue sauce poured all over him. Could that be the moment of the year in 2012, James?
Oh, and that just begs the question, Corey. What would you do if you were in charge? If you were the president, so to speak? I think that'll be a interesting recurring theme to use tonight. What do you think?
I totally agree, because there's two ways to go about our show tonight, James, and that would be, do we rip on the product for a solid 45 minutes, or do we try and be somewhat constructive and think of being in the mindset of, if we were in charge, just how would we change
what
up?
What would we do differently?
How would we change up the WWE these days? Because what we saw this week on Monday Night Raw, it was not delightful in any way.
It was not good at all. It just, you know, it completely blows my mind how they could go from such an interesting and well-written Raw last week to what we were given this week. I just
want to bring up one point. 2 weeks ago, when we were raving about Monday Night Raw, there was no John Cena on the show. This week, it's a completely different story, and I'm just going to say John Cena was on the show. That's all I'm going to say, James. That's it. You're not buying it, though, are you?
No, hey, you know what? I agree with you. I think it does make a difference. We'll talk about it a little bit later, but just in case you want to find us on the internet, our website is www.smacktalkradiolive.com. You can also like us on Facebook, facebook.com/smacktalkradio. And if you want to be trendy, you can find us on Twitter at SRL Radio. And don't forget about our email address. I plug this every week, onair@smacktalkradiolive.com. You know, send us your thoughts, send us your opinions. Did you think Raw sucked as much as we did?
That's the question, really. I'd love for people to take part, join the conversation, and find out.
Tell us what you think.
Like,
and we'll reward you with prizes.
Are we out to lunch here? Like, are the fans at home watching Monday Night Raw really liking what they see? Or am I just, like, are we just on another planet here, James? Because,
you know, I asked myself the same question, man.
I wanted to shut Raw off this week. I cannot stand what I saw.
Is
No, seriously, it was just terrible. I mean, every aspect of Monday Night Raw did not work for me, and I'm really hoping that the public agrees with me tonight. I know that there are a few people in this world that I can talk to about wrestling, and it doesn't matter how poor the product is on television, they're still going to tell me that it is good, and that they are liking what they see, and they're loving what they see with Kofi, and they're loving what they see with Daniel Bryan. But you got to look at the entire show from a big picture, and it was very disappointing this week, James.
Well, you know what? I don't think people are liking what they're seeing with wrestling nowadays. And, I mean, the big indicators are, number one, the ratings on TV. And number two is...
They're not even above a 3.0 rating, which is... That's kind of bad. Like a number they hover. But for the last few weeks, they've dipped below 3.0 on the television rating scale. And that's not good news.
No.
Plus, throw in the stock price.
That's exactly what I was just about to say. Those are your two big indicators right there for me.
You throw in the stock price as well, and you... Those two factors alone should say business is not as good as it should be, and they've got to be big wake-up calls. It's just bad. It really is bad.
So now that we're talking a little bit about Monday Night Raw, was there anything, any shred of anything good that you liked?
Well, no. Before we get into that, I want to just remind, let everyone know that tonight's theme for the show is, if we were in charge, how are we going to change what we're seeing on television?
Yes, right? Exactly.
Appropriate song off the top. Wyclef Jean, if anyone's looking for that song. Regardless, though, yes. What I did like about Monday Night Raw this week, well, I enjoyed the two locals who came on and got squashed by Ryback.
I was going to agree with you there.
Other than that, God, I'm just disappointed.
Yeah.
I have nothing I liked about Raw.
You had Tensai lose clean. You had... just as big a debacle with the whole Michael Cole and the barbecue sauce segment. I mean,
well,
did you not learn your lesson with Over the Limit?
No kidding. I will say this. Maybe a somewhat positive note from Monday Night Raw this week would be Sin Cara's return. I didn't find that to be atrocious, like his original debut.
No, he did have a very good worked match. There was
anything. Again, he's facing Hunico, who he has faced a million times, and that's sort of his go-to guy.
That's really what it all comes down to, is there's just not a lot of guys on the roster who can really work with Sin Cara.
Which is a big problem.
And mesh with his style. Yes, it is.
So you can pull off a successful match with one guy, but what can you do with the rest of the talent roster, right? So, but that being said, I thought it was a good return for Sin Cara. So that is a win for me in the terms of Monday Night Raw this week. But everything else on the show, not a fan of.
No, I'm definitely not a fan of...
Well, I mean, you could talk about the opening promo.
Where do
Michael,
I begin?
Yeah, well, exactly. Michael Cole with John Cena off the top of the show. So the entire theme for Monday Night Raw is the fact that John Cena is going to have an opportunity to possibly face Michael Cole later in the evening. This is our big selling point to start the show?
No, I know. Right away when I saw that they were going to have, John Cena versus Michael Cole at the end of the show, I'm thinking, oh, man. I'm already dreading the end of the show. Right?
And here's my first comment if I was going to be in charge. Or let's just use this slogan from here on out. If I were president.
Yeah.
If I were president of this show, I would say, I would not start Monday Night Raw with a segment that sets up the end of Monday Night Raw. That is just a nightly written storyline, if that makes any sense. They started this feud between Cena and Cole at the beginning of Monday Night Raw, and then it ends at the end of the show of Monday Night Raw. It's like a nightly setup for the main event. I hate those. I want to see in the opening segment something that is going to be substantial, that is impacting a storyline for down the road. You know what I mean?
A hint at some kind of surprise at the end of the show or something different.
People used to tune in to Monday Night Raw and WCW Nitro, if you remember, and they were just wanting to see the beginning of the show because it was going to be something that was really meaningful, not necessarily for that same night, but for down the road, for setting up a pay-per-view. That this whole scene of setting up Cole for a main event later that night, that does not work for me.
And it didn't further his program with the Big Show one iota.
I can understand why they do it. In terms of a writing sense, it makes sense. You open the show with something that's going to set up for the end of the show, but you're thinking short term here.
But are you a fan of this open and close Raw that's pretty much just like a throwaway Raw?
No, that's sort of what I'm getting at is no, this open and close writing style is terrible.
Yeah.
I don't like that. So that's what I would change off the opening segment. You could have Cena come out and do a segment with Cole, but it doesn't necessarily have to be about him versus Michael Cole. Cole can be a catalyst in setting up for something even bigger heading into the pay-per-view. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, that's how I would structure the segment.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I didn't like right off the bat. The other thing that I want to get to quickly about Monday Night Raw, Dolph Ziggler this week.
Oh.
Just completely burying the guy. A week ago, or 2 weeks ago, I should say,
he's
successful.
You tease us with something greater for Dolph Ziggler. Like, we were sitting here last Thursday going, oh my God, yes, finally we're going to see something come of Dolph Ziggler. And then the very next week, you're burying him to Sheamus. Like.
And to me, that begs the question, is the WWE doing this on purpose? Are they setting Ziggler up for everyone thinks he's going to finally get his moment, and then they shut it down, and then they keep doing that over and over again until the crowd gets really, really antsy? Is that what they're setting up? Or is this just literally they don't know what to do with Ziggler?
I think this is they don't know what to do with Ziggler, and this is creative going, okay, Sheamus is a really cold champion right now. Nobody's behind him right now. So let's throw Ziggler out against him and try to make him look good.
See, I disagree with you. I think that this is being done on purpose and that this is all a long-term, hopefully done correctly written storyline of where Dolph Ziggler, everyone wants to see this guy get his moment in the sun, but just when you have that glimpse of it, they shut it down and they do that to the point until the fans are so behind Ziggler to see his moment that it works at that point in time. Do you know what I mean? Like, you're setting up for down the road.
I see what you're coming from. Yeah, you could be setting him up for, like, a real big, you know,
don't you think
huge
the locker
moment
room,
when he finally wins the title or whatever.
If they weren't doing that, if they weren't doing it on purpose, do you not think the locker room would have the back of Dolph Ziggler and say, like, look, here we have a potential superstar on our hand. It's his time. The guy has put his time in. Let's give him a chance to shine.
God knows they need stars right now.
So don't you think if they were not doing it on purpose, someone would be speaking up for Ziggler? Let alone the possibility that why would Ziggler even stick around if this is the case? The guy is putting quality matches in, night out. He's good on the mic.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a better look than most guys in there. What is the problem? You're at a time when, you know, your top three are suspended. You're still looking for stars. To me, the only explanation for this is they're doing it on purpose. That's it. That, if not, then someone needs to be fired over this because it's unbelievable how they're holding Ziggler down.
Well, no, honestly, I can see where you're coming from, but just based on the evidence, the way the WWE creative works, and based on what I've seen so far, I honestly just don't think they don't know what to do with them.
Ridiculous.
It blows my mind. At a time when the roster is so thin and they are starved for talent, why are they not pushing this guy up to the next level?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody wants to see it. You want to see it. I want to see it. Everybody we know wants to see it.
That's
what I would do different. If I were president, that's what I would do different, you know?
Yeah.
I'd definitely move Ziggler up to that next level. But again, I can see where you're coming from. Maybe they are doing it so later on down the road.
Are they drawing money? Are they drawing money with this whole holding them back temporarily? I mean, it's just pissing me off. It's not making me interested in the product.
And you know what? Maybe that's the whole design, is they want to get you so pissed off that finally when
that's what I
the
think.
Next level, and that's exactly what you were just talking about. So, no, I can see where you're coming from.
I hope that's
but
the case.
My opinion is they just don't know what to do with them.
Yeah. What about Ryback this week? What do you make of Ryback? A lot of people are finally taking notice to this guy, speaking, you know, about his similarities to Bill Goldberg, obviously.
And that's all you're going to get with Ryback at this point, is just this guy is similar to Bill Goldberg. This guy's just Goldberg 2.0. I mean,
okay, if you were President James, how would you handle the Ryback storyline that you have on your hands?
Well, I would have him, like, I do like the idea of him destroying the local boys. But I'd only do that on Raw and SmackDown. I wouldn't have that on pay-per-views. If I'm going to have Ryback on a pay-per-view, like, yeah, it's like Socha was saying last week, you got to have that buffer, right? So why not throw, like, one of the, you know, D-card guys on the roster to him on the pay-per-views? There's only 13 pay-per-views a year, right?
Yeah.
But anyways, what I would do different with Ryback, I wouldn't have him screaming. I'd maybe make the character a little bit different. I'd still have him come out and be, like, the dominant force and winning the matches, like, you know, like a monster like he is, but I don't know. I wouldn't have him doing the stomping, and I wouldn't have him.
Is it advantageous to have him as an exact copycat of Goldberg and make the fans relate to those similarities, or do you want to make him look a little different than Goldberg and make him feel like a different character. Like,
well, that's the thing. The look is so similar.
And... I guess what I'm saying is, do you purposely make him look like a spitting copy of Goldberg and have the fan and just feed off that? Is that a good idea?
Not at this point. I don't know. You know what? I don't think so. My opinion personally is no, I don't think so. I would have done it differently. Maybe a different look.
No,
just not the yelling and the stomping and stuff.
We finally get past the initial slaughtering of local talent with Ryback, and you finally get him into something substantial. How do you handle Ryback at that point?
Once he's, got past the local boys and stuff like that? Mm-hmm. Well, maybe at that point, it was kind of like Goldberg was, he starts building momentum. So I would, I'd still have him keep going. What do you mean?
Is he a contender to break Goldberg's streak? And let's say you get to that point. This is way down the road. I'm mm-hmm. just having a little fun with predictions here. But, does he break the streak? Does he come close and not break the streak? Is it even about the streak? Or is this just about, him slaughtering through the roster until he gets to John Cena? Like, how do you handle Ryback when he finally gets to that major storyline?
When he finally gets to, maybe I would kind of push him past Bill Goldberg's number and maybe make him like a viable opponent for Undertaker at WrestleMania 30.
Interesting.
Can you imagine if he goes on a winning streak for 2 years, decimates everybody, goes through all the top guys, finally beats John Cena, and then, put him up against the Undertaker at WrestleMania 30. Streak versus streak.
Does Ryback beat Goldberg's streak?
You know what? At this point...
I'm just going to flat out ask you.
I could see WWE not doing it just because of the way that they are going at the seat of their pants at the moment. Maybe some kind of idea strikes one of the creatives fancy and, let's have Ryback lose, but let's have him lose in this fashion. I don't know. What was Goldberg Street? It was like 286 matches or something like that.
I don't have the number off the top of my head. I'm not even going to pretend to know. But the point that I was getting at, and I had said this to you on Monday.
Now, my question, I'm just trying to go going back to Goldberg for a sec. Sorry to interrupt you there. 286 matches, was that TV matches or was that?
No, that was his streak was part of house show matches as well.
Oh, okay. Well, then in that case, maybe I could see. I didn't know if they counted house show matches. Well, if they count house show matches, then I could see him. Going past Goldberg's streak.
Here's what I would do. I was saying to you on Monday, you have Ryback get all the way up to the end, and then when you have him take on a match either for the new record or to tie the record, you have him face Goldberg. Ryback versus Goldberg. It's beautiful.
That would be kind of
cool. It is a possible WrestleMania match.
No, that is a definite money match for sure.
And that's a match that people would want to see.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that would draw money.
Goldberg's not in bad shape. He could still do it.
Okay.
The problem is...
That's a real good idea. I never even clued into that.
The problem is...
What?
Is it would be Goldberg's duty to put over Ryback. Because Goldberg is no longer involved with wrestling.
Well, he better...
No way! Goldberg should never...
Oh.
No. The excitement that came with Goldberg in the 90s does not compare to what we see with Ryback.
Not at this point, no. But look, when Goldberg was destroying local boys back in the 90s, he wasn't... People weren't chanting Goldberg then.
It's night and day to me. Goldberg brought a level of excitement to wrestling.
You know what?
No, Goldberg brought a level of excitement to wrestling that can't be touched by anyone. And Ryback, definitely. No one's getting that excited over Ryback that there was compared to Goldberg back then. Not a chance. But I would love to see that match.
You never know. Give
you
it want
time. To build up a money match at WrestleMania?
Yeah, Ryback versus Goldberg.
A good secondary match with implications that people care about that you're not... And, using guys that aren't John Cena or CM Punk or The Rock or Stone Cold or Shawn Michaels or Triple H... You have Ryback versus Goldberg, man. I'm telling you.
No, I agree.
That is a good possible WrestleMania match.
Yes, that is a very good idea. All right.
I just wanted to get that out there.
You made your point.
All right. Well, what about Kane, CM Punk, and Daniel Bryan this week on Raw?
Well, what a performance by AJ.
Really?
How about that look?
You were loving that look.
That's all I took away from that match. No, I'm kidding. That was actually a very good match by Punk and Kane. Honestly, I'm kind of still on the fence about Kane being involved in this whole feud in the first place, but...
And why is that? You don't like that they're adding a third wrestler to it?
I would have rather seen them do like a protracted series of matches with CM Punk and Daniel Bryan, kind of like what they did with Randy Orton and Christian
last
year.
But people were already starting to complain that we've seen too much of Punk versus Bryan.
Really?
Oh, yeah. There were lots of people saying
that. I have never seen any complaints like that.
Oh, for sure. Well, people were saying that we've seen it, and you know, we have seen it a lot in the last few months, so they needed to add a twist to the storyline.
No. I could watch CM Punk and Daniel Bryan wrestle every single week on Raw.
I was getting bored of it myself. No. Not bored. I'm just saying that it's been done. You used a lot of those matches, and a lot of those matches came on television, right? Like, they came on Monday Night Raw, not on pay-per-views. Like, I'm not talking that they've had a lot of quality pay-per-view matches. I'm saying that they've had a lot of matches in terms of Monday Night Raw, SmackDown.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. But people were saying the same thing about Randy Orton and Christian last year.
Yeah, I know. So. And I was getting bored of that, too.
Were you?
Oh, for sure.
No, I never was.
Nah,
that was I never great. Was. I like good wrestling.
Yeah, but...
So sue me. I like good wrestling.
All right. Well, what do you? At No Way Out. What do you? What's their prediction for Cena? Or sorry, for Orton, Bryan, and Kane.
For Orton, Bryan, and Kane. Well, I can see them doing something stupid like putting the strap on Kane.
Well, who does AJ end up aligning with in the end?
Whoever wins the belt.
Think so.
I think she's gonna play a factor into the match. I don't know how, but she's gonna be. You know, she's got her eyes on whoever has the title belt, essentially, right?
Yeah.
So, are you liking this new direction that they've taken her character? Kind of making. Do you think she's just supposed to be straight out psychotic, or is she like,
well,
just really, really cunning?
No, I think she does really a really clever. Good job of it. I think she's doing a good job.
She's a good performer. I'll give her
and
that.
And I like that they're keeping the mystery alive of just what exactly is wrong with her.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I think it's setting up. She could go back to Daniel Bryan at No Way Out, and it was a big plan all along to get the title back, or you know, like. Who knows? Like, it's not that exciting to me. I don't really care who AJ aligns with. That's just the honest truth. I just don't.
Are you just flat out not liking AJ's involvement in this whole
thing? No, I like AJ. Like, I think she does a really good job. I can appreciate that she's been added to this whole story. But it's just one of those things for me where I just don't really care. Because she's not... It's not a big deal to me. I can't explain it other than that.
No, I see what you're saying.
I don't know. It's not a main event storyline, in my opinion, is what I'm getting at.
Which is it's not sad, carrying the which show. Is sad because it's the WWE title.
I know, yeah.
Well, speaking of titles, there's some interesting news this week regarding the WWE title.
Yes, let's get into that.
New title belt. Apparently on the way, thanks to CM Punk revealing this news.
Yeah, he was at Comic-Con in Philadelphia, where he revealed that the WWE will be coming out with a new title, and he's seen
it. Finally.
And he, not only has he seen it, James, but he proceeded to say that he didn't like what he saw. So we haven't even, the public hasn't even seen it yet. And here you're, you know, CM Punk, your champion, is saying, I don't like what I'm seeing.
Well.
That's not good.
No, that's not good at all.
Vince McMahon probably gave a phone call to Punk after that one. Well, let's be realistic. If there is a new title on the way and your champion is going to proceed to bash the look of it before it's been unveiled, hey, that can't be a good thing.
What better way to get the design changed by having your champion bash it before it comes out?
Wow. In what way? Explain.
Well, because he's already said, this is your champion, well, you know, very popular CM Punk. If he's coming out flat out right away saying, yeah, there's a new title belt coming and it sucks, well, then automatically he's... You know, he's influenced people's opinions on the belt design. So whatever they come out with, people are going to think it sucks. Do you kind of get what I'm saying?
So are you saying this is being done on purpose?
Well, maybe Punk did that on purpose to kind of, I don't know, wake up whoever's designing the belt or whoever's
responsible. But is it really CM... Well, what I'm saying is it CM Punk's place to do that? Is it CM Punk's place? He's just another wrestler on the roster.
No, it's not. No, definitely not. It's not his place.
And you got to remember, first impressions mean everything.
Yeah, exactly. Right. That's what I'm just saying. He's influenced people's first impressions by flat out saying, yeah, I've seen the belt. There's a new belt coming. And
to me, that would seem like there should be repercussions for doing that. Unless this was done on purpose. It seems a little odd that CM Punk says that there's a title.
It's very interesting because I think it was just yesterday that there was actually, I think we had a picture of the new title belt that's...
Well, we don't know for sure.
It's allegedly legit. Mm-hmm. Allegedly, of course, being the main word there, but...
Do you think that is the picture? If you haven't seen it, you can see it on beneaththemat.com. You can go there and see the photos. Do you like what you see?
No. I will flat out say it sucks. Yeah. It's it looks gaudy. It looks like a bad piece of hip hop bling. It's got all these like it's similar in design to the spinner belt, where it's got the giant logo and then it's got the diamond studs, which I don't know. I don't like that. I think it's
not
just,
much of a change from the current product.
No.
So if you were president, James,
what would I do? If I were president, I would definitely not go with that design. That's for sure. I would, you know, I'd take a page out of the World Heavyweight Championship, for example. I mean, that's a very prestigious belt that's never changed in design. I mean, before it used to be the WCW heavyweight title. Even before that, it was the NWA world title. And it's been the same design for years and years and years. So, I don't know. I would probably try to emulate kind of like a boxing design. I'd maybe have like a globe or something on it. And
I wouldn't
have the giant WWE logo, that's for sure. I wouldn't have the giant W.
And if I were president, I would embrace the history of the WWE and bring back the original WWE championship that they had when Bret Hart was wearing it.
Oh, the winged one?
The winged belt.
That was the best belt ever.
Why not?
What? Exactly.
Everyone recognizes that as the greatest looking title of all titles in terms of WWE championships. Mm-hmm. Why not embrace that and bring that back? What damage is there to marketing the title by embracing the history of it and bringing back that? Do you know what I'm trying to say?
No, I know exactly what you're saying.
They would argue that they don't want to bring that title back because they want to sell the replica belts and they want to sell the toy belts of a new product.
Mm-hmm.
They want everyone to buy the new product.
Right.
But we're talking, what, 20 years, 25 years since we've seen that belt, maybe? No, not that long.
The winged belt?
No, about 18...
Yeah, probably. I'm thinking...
No, it was like 94, 93 that it was around, wasn't it?
The winged belt?
Yeah.
The winged belt was around till about, I think it was 98, 99.
Oh, was that long?
Yeah.
Oh.
98, 99 it was. Because remember, it really changed when Stone Cold became champion, right?
That's true. Well, so yeah. I personally, I think that people, no one even wanted a new belt at that time. They just introduced a new belt.
I don't know why they would, you know.
Marketing.
Change the
marketing,
design.
Marketing. They want you to buy the merchandise of the new belt. So we are now this, we've cycled ourselves. We could go back to that belt, embrace the history, and by bringing that belt back, you would instantly restore credibility to that title.
And that's what's missing from all titles nowadays.
Credibility.
Is prestige and credibility. Do the titles, Corey, in your opinion, do they even have prestige anymore?
Nothing.
Especially not the tag titles.
It's a figurehead for who is at the top of the company, and it's a poor figurehead at that because no one cares about the title.
Man, remember just the other day we were watching old Bret and Shawn matches, and we were watching them when they were tag teams in the late 80s and 90s. And mm-hmm. Remember they were on their documentary, their Greatest Rivalries documentary, they were talking about the tag team division back in like the late 80s and 90s.
Yeah.
When it actually meant something in the tag, but the tag titles were prestigious, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
why can't you go back to that?
Exactly.
What does it hurt in the end, other than maybe a few $1,000s in merchandise profits? Because a guy who bought the belt back in the 90s still has it, and he's not going to buy it today. You know what I mean? Like, really, what are you losing here? To me, you are gaining prestige and credibility. So, in my opinion, if I were president, I would go back to that.
Fair enough.
Screw these new photos. They suck.
Yeah. No, I totally agree with you. If I were president, I would go right along the same lines. Now, keeping on the whole theme of titles here, the WWE website asked an interesting question, and I'm going to pose the same question to you, Corey. What do you think makes a person's title holding, I guess you could call it, more prestigious? Would it be number of championship reigns, or would it be the length of their reign? What do you think is more prestigious to you?
I personally think length of a reign.
I totally agree with you.
Mm-hmm, without question. They always have marketed it as the more times you've held the belt, the better.
Yeah.
You know, he's a 10-time world champion.
Ric Flair, 16-time world champion. Well, that means he's lost the world championship 16 times.
Mm-hmm.
Right? To me, JBL is one of the most prestigious title holders there was because he held on to the title for almost a year.
I know. And that's
unheard of. And that's impressive. You don't see that very much anymore. And now you got CM Punk, which is coming close. I mean, he's had
the belt. When was the last time we saw a guy go from WrestleMania to WrestleMania as champion? It's been a while. I can't even think of someone off the top of my head.
Yeah, off the top of my head, I can't even think about the last time somebody went
and that's
show
bad.
To show as champ.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is bad.
Oh, well, this is the WWE, James. This is what we have to deal with.
So if I were president, I would put the title on somebody and I would, you know, here, well, have it for 6 months. Have it for 7 months. Something, right?
Well, it could happen with CM Punk.
I hope so. Yeah. I hope, you know what? I hope he has a good long title reign. You know, I hope he holds it for 10 months, 11 months, hell, a year. I'm good with that.
Mm-hmm. What about Vince McMahon returning to Monday Night Raw next Monday?
This is very interesting, and this goes into the whole, you know, dilemma of their Monday Night Raw ratings.
Well, we have a three-hour Monday Night Raw this week. Now, this is not the start of the permanent 3 hours.
No.
But this is just a three-hour Raw in the middle of nowhere, out of the blue, for no reason at all.
I think it's a test run, obviously.
Of course.
Yeah.
Complete test run by the WWE this upcoming Monday. But they have announced that Vince McMahon will return, and he will give John Laurinaitis a job evaluation.
Will John Laurinaitis get fired? It's, you know what I think is going to happen? I think Vince McMahon's going to come out, and he's going to add the stipulation to Cena and Big Show's cage match at No Way Out that if Big Show loses the match, John Laurinaitis will be fired.
Or we could see something like Vince McMahon coming out and completely supporting John Laurinaitis.
That would be quite interesting, eh?
Mm-hmm. That would be very interesting.
I mean, they've had similar, I guess you could call it managerial styles.
Now, let's
very
just
antagonistic.
Let's just talk about Vince McMahon returning to Monday Night Raw.
Yes.
Is it a good idea for him to show back up on camera?
Well, I don't know. It'll help ratings a little bit.
It's funny because they seem to use that as a kind of a minor spark when they are needing ratings or when they want to kick off a big show. They go back to Vince because people know that when Vince is showing up now,
it's a
big deal.
It's definitely a big deal.
So people are going to want to tune in. So I wouldn't doubt it. In fact, they might have already announced it, that Vince McMahon starts Monday Night Raw off and everyone's going to be rushing to their sets come Monday Night Raw time.
To catch that opening segment
of McMahon coming out and what's he got to say, right?
I think that's what they're going to do as well.
What do you think Vince McMahon will say this Monday?
Well, like I just said, I think he's going to add the stipulation to Cena and Show's cage match that if they lose, you know, it's going to be basically another one of if you lose the match, you're fired type.
Is that, will that be the only reason he shows up?
No, I think he's going to show up in a small way to defend WWE's decision to make Raw a three-hour show continuously.
I think that's exactly what this is all about. Mm-hmm. This is going to be McMahon coming out and explaining his reasoning as to why we're making this move.
Because they've been met with such a negative backlash over the idea that they have to bring out the big guns and have the big man himself come out and defend the idea.
Whatever he says, I will not buy. It's true.
There you go.
Last time we saw McMahon come out and make an announcement, like sort of in the same sort of way, was when he announced NXT. And remember, he had stated that NXT was going to be the next big revolutionary thing in wrestling and that it was going to be big and awesome.
No.
Well, here we are.
NXT so, Redemption.
I will not buy whatever McMahon says on Monday unless he blows my socks off with some sort of blockbuster announcement.
You never know.
Now, if I was president, hence being Vince McMahon, I would come out and not only would I announce this change and justify the change, I would blow the socks off of everyone with some sort of impactful announcement that changes the landscape of Monday Night Raw. Now, that could be something as in how the show is going to look, how it's going to be shot. It could be
something regarding their interactivity through social media, maybe.
It could be something like where
you decide vote the matches through Facebook or Twitter type thing.
And somehow he convinces us that it'll be a legit thing that they're doing. Like, there could be like a monumental change to how they're displaying their product. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Now, what that is, I'm not quite sure, but they're just the announcement has to be something like that in order to grab my attention. If he just comes out and says, yeah, we're going to 3 hours because it means more money for us, and USA Network wants to do it.
Really, that's the reason.
You know, because what else? What other reason do you have to go to 3 hours? So to me, if you're going to make that announcement and try and justify it, back it up with something significant, something revolutionary that will change wrestling and shake it up in a way that CM Punk did last year with his Las Vegas Monday Night Raw promo. You know what I mean?
Like
something that is really going to make people go, wow, this is interesting. Not something that's going to be like, yeah, I kind of expected him to say that. You know? It'll be interesting, though.
Well, definitely he's coming back. It's going to help their ratings. And, you know, why do you think their ratings are so low these days?
Well, I would just say that the complete mystique out of professional wrestling has disappeared. And this is a longer conversation than for what we have time for tonight. But
maybe we'll talk about it next Thursday.
Maybe. But I feel that the product today is stale for a lot of reasons. Number one, right off the bat, I would say the writing staff is going through the motions. Now, that has a lot to do with the notion, you know, just the idea, sorry, that they have to pump out a heck of a lot of shows each and every week. Mm-hmm. And you need to write in a style that will allow for that.
Yeah.
Right? But in the same breath, I just feel that there's nothing surprising or spontaneous about wrestling these days. There needs to be that element of spontaneity. You are live. You broadcast live for a reason. Embrace that reason. Have these things that happen that not even the director who's cutting cameras knows about. Have these elements or significant periods throughout the show where people are like, wow, did that just happen? Like, I didn't even, you know what I mean? Or just don't have... Everything just seems so scripted. Get rid of the scripted element.
Yeah, well, it's because, like I was going to say, it is because it's so scripted.
Of course. But in my opinion, you want to save wrestling in 2012, you want to embrace the reality era, stray away from the scriptedness and come back towards spontaneity and impulse and instinct and just bring that element of surprise to the fans. That's what's missing. We can call Monday Night Raw as we're watching it half the time.
Yeah.
I shouldn't be able to do that. And bring back the athleticism. That's my other complaint. The wrestlers are going through the motions. I understand that they're working 320 shows a year or 300 shows a year and that they got to save their bodies throughout the year. But the fact is that the guys in the late 90s did it as well. And their travel schedule may not have been as strenuous, but they were putting 120% into each and every match.
Didn't matter if it was a house show.
Didn't matter if it was a Monday Night Raw or a Friday Night SmackDown. They were putting everything into these matches, and they were actually giving a shit. I feel that a lot of the wrestlers today don't give a shit, and they're just going through the motions and collecting their paycheck, and I can see that on the product that I'm watching on television.
Yeah, that's a definite... Well, I agree with you. The product is a definite reason the ratings are taking a hit. Now, what about something like there being a ton of different mediums in which to watch wrestling nowadays? Do you think maybe that's taking a big number of their ratings number? Like,
you mean for example,
like back in the late 90s when they were doing real good ratings, like there was no YouTube, there was no WWE.com, you know, people couldn't DVR Monday Night Raw and stuff like that. All these things make, you know, probably have quite a huge...
Well, the fact of the matter is you're never going to have the television ratings that you had back in the day. You're just not.
No. I'm not saying that.
Yeah, but my suggestion, if I were president, would be to embrace these other mediums. They've done it with YouTube. They are using YouTube to their advantage by doing these live pre-pay-per-view shows through YouTube. Smart idea.
And these other shows.
Weekly shows.
The other weekly shows that they're doing, like the backstage one and all that, they're all very well done.
That's good. I'm totally down with that. They haven't used the internet fully to their advantage, in my opinion. Yes, they post videos on their website, and that's great, but for some reason, I've always felt that there's something lacking for me to go and check out WWE video, and I can't put my finger on it. I'm guessing the reason is because there's nothing ever significant has happened only on the internet. That's a huge thing with me in terms of storylines.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
I think that'll change, though. In the future, I think we'll see that
change. It would need to change for me to give a shit.
And I think it will. I think they realize that. And I think you will see something significant happen. Maybe this, you know, there's rumors that they're going to have like a big bombshell happen, kind of like what CM Punk was last summer and Nexus was the summer before that. Mm-hmm. They want to have like a big bombshell happen this summer again. And I think maybe we'll see that happen through the internet, through either YouTube or through one of their social media outlets.
It would be a wise idea to do it. But what would be even more wise is to do it and then not exploit the fact that it did happen online. Like, just go with it, you know? Don't market.
I can see them exploiting it, though.
Oh, of course. But I'm just saying that if they were smart, they've got to get away. Part of the problem as well is it's become painfully obvious that this is no longer a wrestling company. It's a marketing company.
Yes.
And they prove that week in and week out. And because they have gone with this knowledge, I think that was I think it was a mistake. I think they should never have done that. They should have stuck to their guns and kept it as a wrestling company. And when you advertise it as a marketing company the way they have, people see through that. And they realize that this product is not worth watching what it, you know, like it used to be. when it was a wrestling company, when belts mattered, when the storylines were deeply thought out.
It wasn't a publicly traded company.
I just feel that you are really hurting the storyline aspect of our show, which is what the people care about.
The product, yes.
You're hurting that by everything else outside of that, the marketing, you know what I mean? And yes, I understand, you got to make money and you got to advertise the product and you got to come up with innovative ways to market a product. I get that. But you also have to come up and do that in a way that doesn't hurt the product that the fans really care about. It's the hardcore fans that are watching, the people that are turning their TV on watching the product. Those are the people that give a shit about the history, the prestige, the tradition, the storylines. They don't, everything else around that, the marketing comes with a solid product. It's tough.
Like, I don't, you know what? I don't know how much more I can agree with you tonight. It's bad.
To me, like Vince McMahon, you know, I don't blame Vince McMahon because this is just the evolution of wrestling. That's just the way it came out. This is in the last 10 years, we have gone from, you know, from 1997 where wrestling was at an all-time high. I should say more than 10 years, but you know, we've gone from where wrestling was at an all-time high and people were so vastly interested into who was going to hold that title. We've gone from that to just pumping out a show week in and week out where the main event is something set up earlier in the night. And, you know, we're just watching
we're pouring barbecue sauce on a guy. Like,
and it's been ingrained in our head to turn on Monday Night Raw. Well, I'm telling you, people are starting to turn off. They are breaking the tradition of just turning on Monday Night Raw for the sake of it being Monday night. They've got to switch it up. It's got to be a wake-up call here. And if it doesn't happen soon, this company is in big, big trouble. The most hardcore of fans are going to walk away. And people are going to see right through this bullshit charade that they are offering on television right now. To me, it's unwatchable.
So to make a long story short, if you were president, you would definitely clean up the product.
Clean up the product in a way of making it more spontaneous and going back to their roots, going back to the history, the prestige, the tradition, the storylines. That is what matters.
And being a wrestling company again and not an entertainment company.
Yes.
Well, you know what? I totally agree with you. If I were president, I would definitely do that as well. But I would also investigate maybe moving to a major broadcasting network instead of being on cable TV.
They get good ratings on USA Network. USA Network reaches a lot of homes, and it's not that easy to just go and say that, James. There's a lot of factors. And first of all, a major network has got to want them.
They've got very good relationship with NBC.
Yeah, but they're not going to give them prime time on Monday night. NBC has Monday Night Football.
I honestly think it would help both of them. I think it would help NBC.
Are you kidding me? NBC has Monday Night Football. Or they have football, James. There's no way they're going to give that up. Not just Monday Night Football. They have other programming on Monday night. Monday night is a solid night of programming for these networks. There's no way they're giving up what they have to put WWE on a Monday night. There's no way.
Well, I would still investigate it if I were president.
Well, they probably have. They probably have. I wouldn't doubt that they have. I mean, they've exhausted options. They went to Spike TV for a while. You can't just say, "Oh, I put myself on a major network," and you gotta have. It's a long process.
No, I'd imagine, but I'd still. That's what I would do if I were president.
Oh, okay.
I would get it on NBC on Monday nights. Screw football. Nobody watches football.
I don't. You know what I'm thinking? I don't think NBC has the Monday Night Football contract. I think it's ESPN.
You know what? NBC has been the last place network for years and years now. I honestly think bringing wrestling over to NBC would help both of them.
Well, there's a reason why NBC put wrestling on Saturday night, because Saturday night is considered one of the lowest watched nights in television.
Put wrestling on a watched night. Well, you know, what are considered the most watched nights? Like Mondays, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays?
No, Thursdays.
Thursdays
is a big one. Mondays and Thursdays are big nights in television.
Mondays and Thursdays?
And Sundays.
So put Raw on a Thursday night.
They'd be going head-to-head with Impact, and they'd lose in the ratings war.
You know what? I was actually watching Impact earlier. It was not a bad show tonight. Yeah.
I don't know. There's so many things that need to be fixed with professional wrestling, and it's got to happen. Something's got to happen. I would hope this announcement by Vince on Monday is impactful.
So have we degenerated into bashing the business altogether?
No, we're still staying true to our theme for tonight's show. What about Brock Lesnar and his surprise visit to the UFC earlier this month? we are now, you know, what, 3 weeks, 2 weeks later, and what do you make of this?
If there was ever a master manipulator in the world of professional wrestling and mixed martial arts, it's definitely Brock Lesnar, because he's got everybody asking questions. You know, was this legit? Was this just something that he's doing to build, you know, more heat for his angle with Triple H heading into SummerSlam?
Well, what does your gut tell you?
My gut tells me that he was there investigating options for himself.
Is he done with the WWE?
I know. I don't think he's done. I think he'll honor his limited contract that he does have. But I think after he's done with the WWE, yeah, he's looking, you know, he's looking at other doorways. If he can maybe get back into the UFC after his contract is done, then why not, right?
As Vince McMahon, are you pissed off that he went there, or were you in the know about it the entire time?
Well, that's the thing. I've been reading a ton of reports that apparently there's big-time friction between the WWE and Brock Lesnar now because he went and
did this. This could all be a work, though.
That's the other angle of it. It could just all be a work.
I mean, on television, in storyline, they are saying that there's lawsuits between the two. So it would make sense for them to carry that outside the ring and you know, and have this.
Yeah, no, I, you know,
like, I think that this is all work. I think that this is Brock Lesnar showing up on the UFC to make fans think.
I don't know. You know what? Honestly, I don't know. I think he's doing a good job of making me wonder, so.
And that's the point.
And that's the beauty of it.
Yeah. This is a storyline that's been well thought out, if
it is a storyline, exactly.
Yeah, if it is a storyline. It's well thought out, and they're going outside the box. They're making people wonder, and this whole visit to UFC has brought legitimacy back to people wondering.
But that's the funny thing, Corey, that this thing is so well thought out that I don't think it is a work. I think it might be is legit, because
I know
they couldn't come up with something this good on their own.
That's the sad part.
Exactly. I was just about to say that.
That's the sad part.
And that's the sad part. It's so well thought out that it can't possibly be a product of WWE creative.
Brutal. Now, they are saying that Triple H is coming back at No Way Out to address the Brock Lesnar issues and the lawsuit with him and Paul Heyman. Triple H showing up at No Way Out, is that going to make you buy the pay-per-view?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting why Triple H would have to choose a pay-per-view to come out and address this, as opposed to maybe, you know, because usually what they do is they'd do an announcement like this on like a Raw or a SmackDown to build up to the pay-per-view, so you'd want to buy it, right? So, but
it's just a simple sell tactic for the pay-per-view. You want to see what Triple H has to say. You ought to pay $60 and buy the pay-per-view.
I guess, yeah.
I mean, I don't blame that decision. I'm just saying, like, what's he going to come out and say? We've basically ignored the Brock Lesnar Triple H thing for the last 3 weeks. I mean, do people really even care right now? I mean,
and you got guys like Big Show. I think he was taking shots at Brock Lesnar personally myself.
What's that?
Oh, just when he was saying, yeah, I'm not a wrestler, I'm a
oh, when
I'm
Big
a
Show
giant
on Monday Night said that.
Yeah, and then he said there are no, you know, wannabe UFC fighter. I think those are little subtle shots at Brock Lesnar. So I don't know. I think maybe the relationship is, you know, legit Rocky.
Think so.
Again, I don't know, right? It's so well done. I don't know.
I don't know why it would be. At the end of the day, this is just professional wrestling. What would Brock Lesnar be so mad about to walk away from all that money that he's been offered?
I don't know. It's Brock Lesnar. I mean, look, he walked away. He was at the top of the game back in 2004, and he walked away.
At this point, I am going to go out on a limb and say that they have just thought out a really good storyline, and that they're going with it, and it's just a really good one. And
so you're saying this does make you more interested for the whole Lesnar Triple H program heading into SummerSlam?
I would say yes.
Yeah,
because there's that level level of realism.
Because
they're delaying it now. I don't like how they've completely ignored it, but they've delayed it. They've made it last longer than a month, which is almost unheard of in storylines today.
No kidding.
So for that reason alone, yes, I do like it.
No, I'm totally with you. This has definitely got me more interested for their program, because yes, there's that, you know, that question of whether this thing is legit or not, and that's just something that's very rare I'm finding in wrestling nowadays.
No Way Out, June 17th from East Rutherford, New Jersey. Are you ordering the pay-per-view at this point, James?
On the fence.
Really?
Yeah.
It's interesting. They've got me on the fence for sure, right?
You know, I am somewhat interested in the Big Show John Cena match, because quite frankly, I think we could really see a Big Show revitalize his career, kind of like what Mark Henry did last year, you know, being the big monster heel. So no, I am. There is a bit of interest, more interest than I had for Over the Limit, that's for sure.
Fair enough. Now the even bigger question will be, will we be crying like Aerosmith after the 3-hour Monday Night Raw episode upcoming.
I don't know. You know what? Maybe they'll follow up with a good one. Maybe they'll do like a bad episode, good episode kind of pattern. I don't know.
That doesn't work in my eyes.
I don't think it works in a lot
we'll
of
We'll probably
eyes.
Be crying ourselves to sleep late Monday because the show's not going to be over until... Well, here on the West Coast, we're lucky. But on the East Coast, it's not going to be over until midnight.
God. Can you imagine if we lived in, you know, over there?
No, I couldn't.
We wouldn't be doing SRL on a Monday night, that's for sure.
So we've decided that we're not going to be doing a show next Monday after Monday Night Raw. We're going to see just how the 3-hour Raw works and just where we sit time-wise. Because our future for SRL on a Monday night is still up in the air as well.
Yes.
So we're going to sit back, watch the show, enjoy it, and then we're going to give our thoughts next Thursday on our regular edition of Smack Talk Radio Live. And that'll be a full edition, not a quick take like tonight. So look forward to that. And we got a really big interview lined up. I'm going to keep that a secret until a little later.
It'll be a good one.
It's very good. All right. We should probably get out of here, James.
Yeah, it's about that time.
We should probably remind everyone, www.smacktalkradiolive.com, facebook.com/smacktalkradio. And if you're on Twitter, @SRLRadio.
And if you're crying about there possibly being no SRL on a Monday night, send us an email onair@smacktalkradiolive.com. Again, you know, just let us know what you think. By the fans, for the fans. Let's create a discussion here, and hey, we got prizes to give away.
Maybe we'll throw away a DVD next week on the show. I'll let everyone know about that on the Facebook page and Twitter page as well.
Sounds good to me.
Sounds like a good idea.
Sounds good to me, my
Whatever
friend.
It takes to get these people to give their thoughts and opinions, because we can't be the only ones blasting the product these days.
Definitely not. Well, I am James, too good for television, McDonald.
You definitely are.
That's right.
And I'm Corey, too hot for television, Callahan.
Face for radio, people. Face for radio.
All right, we'll see you next week. Smack Talk Radio Live.